there. Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we are talking about Call of the Sea. Well, this is week one of two of Call of the Sea, which was released back in December 2020, developed by Out of the Blue Games SL, published by Raw Fury, available on PC, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One. A little summary of the game. Call of the Sea is an otherworldly tale of mystery and love set in the 1930s South Pacific. Explore a lush island paradise, solve puzzles, and unlock secrets in the hunt for your husband's missing expedition. And for those listening, we always have little intros for those who are participating in our recording this week, as well as a little intro question that has to do with the game that we're discussing. This week, our intro question is, what are three maybe unexpected things? If you can't think of anything unexpected, then say something expected that you would take with you on an expedition. Starting at the top.
Branko, unexpected things. I don't know. Things. Oh, Lord. I don't know.
Again, if you can't think of anything unexpected, you can always start with expected. Maybe you'll come up with an unexpected unexpectedly.
How unexpected.
There's so much expectation.
Nobody expects.
Unexpectations.
Well, just from watching too many shows, I would bring a spark kit.
Oh, God. Okay.
Probably good.
Utility axe and a rope.
Okay. All right.
Super practical. None of my items were practical.
Very, very practical indeed. Thank you. Next.
Okay, that's me. Unexpected.
That is you. Yeah.
This is Jonathan, by the way. Unexpected items. Unexpected. I mean, guess Mr. Bun Bun, the stuffed rabbit I've had my entire life, you know, because why not?
Yes.
You know, we've been on so many adventures anyways, might as well bring him along. And then depending on what kind of expedition it is, they'll probably get possessed and be the, you know,
oh my gosh,
form of my doom.
Wow, this is getting interesting. Okay.
Did you say unexpected stuff?
I did say unexpected, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, that was item number one.
Okay.
Item number two, I mean, I guess some kind of instrument. Like, my go-to would be, like, harmonica, but I feel like that's not unexpected, because lots of, like, bikers and stuff just carry harmonicas. I'll say, like, this little
thing. Like a big what? Or something.
No, I don't want to, like, nothing that would impede on the expedition. Like, something small. I have this little tiny, like, hurdy-gurdy model kit that I haven't built, but, like, hypothetically... Oh, wait, no. Even if I haven't built it yet, I would take it and build it on, because I imagine the trip to the expedition would take a while, you know?
Sure,
so a little tiny hurdy-gurdy.
Okay.
That was two items. Third item. I'm looking around my room. Like, my Marvel Champions. Living card game collection, so I can like finally like start playing that, because I keep buying expansions for it.
I love it.
I'd make other people play it too on the expedition.
Nice.
Oh, you're playing Ant-Man. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My cards, my rules. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Next.
This is Madeline. So first thought, I would bring chapstick That's probably expected.
Oh, yeah. For
an expedition. Probably like an 8-pack of chapstick, honestly, because I keep losing them. And if it's a hot place, then they'll melt. So I'll need some replacements.
Yeah.
And then if you get super sunburned, you can just rub the grease in your skin and it'll help out with that too.
So multi-purpose.
Well, love a little it. Bit. Second thing I would bring is probably the handler's guide to Delta Green, and I would make everybody play Delta Green with me at night if they had any brain power left. Because what's better on an expedition than talking about, you know, all the things that go bump in the night?
Mm-hmm.
And then third thing I would bring is a sleep mask. Ever since I worked nights and had to try and sleep during the day, I realized my eyes got way more sensitive to, like, light.
Oh, yeah.
Being even so now, like, we have blackout curtains, but if there's the tiniest little bit of crack that light can get through, if I'm not wearing my sleep mask even with that, then it wakes me up at, like, 5:30 or whatever time the sun wakes up. So I would bring sleep masks as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that I could sleep.
Yeah. My dad had the same problem working night shift. And my mom put aluminum foil in their on their bedroom window because, I don't really think that like blackout. I mean, if they did, like they didn't know that they existed. Probably they didn't really know about blackout curtains at the time. This was like back in like, you know, the early 80s, but.
Well, foil is way cheaper and basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Effective, so.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Next.
Mm-hmm. This is Chris. I think I would bring a French to English dictionary.
Okay.
At least some sort of translation.
Yeah.
Advice. My second, I think. I don't know. I would say spices, but I feel like the cook would probably, or the person designated as the cook would probably have those. So, maybe a book.
Okay.
Or a blank book to just
write
or whatever.
All right.
And then for something completely unexpected, I would bring all of the internet with me.
Okay, that is very unexpected. Thank you.
Wait, that was an option.
Wait. Awesome. This is Steph. And I mean, I would just going off, I mean, I would assume that like, I would like expected things would be like to take a journal with you, blah, 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 chapstick. So I was trying to go a little bit beyond that. And I think, so I would definitely bring probably my night guard because I don't want to have headaches from clenching my jaw while I sleep.
No, thank you.
And also, I would bring melatonin gummies just in case I have trouble sleeping there because I am used to like white noise and stuff for sleeping. And I understand that like, you know, I mean, you just never know. That'd bring something to try and chill me out a bit. Mm-hmm. Number three, I would buy the biggest case of Kind bars that I could and just dump them into a bag. That would be all of one bag, just a bunch of Kind bars, just in case you never know. And then plus with all my stupid digestive issues, you just never know. So I know I can digest those. They're easy to carry. They'll stay good for a while. So in my bag, they would go.
We're the worst people to go on an expedition
That's it. I mean, you know, I mean, and that's, but that's given that, like, you know, you would naturally have, like, I'm thinking you would normal, like, expedition things, like, you know, like stuff you would need for it. This is more, mine was more out of the ordinary. Yeah.
Arthur, only pack the essentials. What is that? Oh, that's Gloomhaven.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's a case, a bag all in itself.
Yep.
Or maybe two. I don't know if there's any expansions now. I have no idea. All right. Cool. Thank y'all. So again, we're talking about Call of the Sea. This is for week. This is the one out of 2 weeks that we'll be talking about this. Yeah, so this is for chapters 1 through 3 of Call of the Sea. Yeah, let's get right into it. Let's start with the crunchy stuff first, with mechanics. How did y'all like your basic stuff, like movement, inspecting, picking up objects? How did that work out for you?
Thought it was fine.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird because the very first thing I did was look down and I didn't see any body. But then kind of funny that, like, as you're climbing ladders, your hands appear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, between that and swimming, that's the only time you see any part of yourself in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tried out and immediately was thankful that the controller worked just well. I tried it with a controller and it worked great.
Oh yeah, I think that I played it with controller too.
Especially the running part. It just, you hit the trigger and you just start running.
Yeah.
I played with the keyboard and mouse because I was too lazy to to reach over and grab my controller.
Yeah.
I played it on my Xbox. Because Game Pass, so.
Yes. Cool. Yeah, I got through Game Pass too, but yeah.
I played keyboard and mouse. I did feel like some of the hitboxes were a little bit small to select objects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But part of that is also that I turned off my, like, the crosshair. So it's possible that I forgot where the center of my screen was.
I mean, I would agree to you. There's some moments where it was just like, oh, wait, nope, there's the sweet spot. Okay.
Yep,
you know,
got it.
or sometimes, like, I would, like, just miss the little symbol that appears, you know, and just be like, wait, what?
Oh, especially okay,
there we go.
Yeah, the gear symbol would, you know, at times be very small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the same shape as the little, like, you can click on this thing that.
Yeah.
And I noticed some things that, like, you had to be almost literally right on top of, and other things you could be somewhat far away to interact with. So the other thing too is I think it was halfway through chapter 2, I had to turn down the sound effects because the overall sound balancing or the default sound settings made the sound effects just deafening to everything else.
Oh, really?
I could barely hear anything she was saying. It was so loud. Which was weird.
I don't think I had that problem, but there was the area with a bunch of birds.
Yeah,
I did think, I was like, oh, the sound designer really wants me to know there are lots of birds in this area. Yeah. It was just was the only time I thought about it.
But it's like, especially the waterfall and then the stream in chapter 1. Like, I couldn't hear barely anything over the water.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure in chapter 3 with the thunderstorm going on, like, you wouldn't be able to hear of anything either.
Sure. Yeah.
But once I adjusted it was fine.
And I think the only with the objects and stuff, maybe I didn't have any issue, but like with the objects, the only very extremely like almost picky small complaint I have is how slow like turning over things was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It felt like eternity at some points to where I was like, I just want to see the other side of this picture, you know, but it's like, I wish that there was, and maybe there was a way that you could, but I feel like I don't know if I looked, but I could almost guarantee that if you turned up any kind of sensitivity, it would be for everything and not just for that, you know?
Even with the mouse, like I had to drag, pick up the mouse, drag, pick up the mouse, drag.
Yeah.
To like get it to flip over.
Oh, I could imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really slow.
So that was also kind of goes with like looking at documents. How did you like the notes and the logbook access?
I started reading them at first, and then it's just I kind of gave up after.
I was really happy like it was there.
Yeah.
Especially with the puzzles. I mean, did I? Note, and then you know, the
note. Oh yeah, the journal like the for the puzzles and stuff like that was super nice because it's just like
yeah.
Like, oh, yep, here's the important things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it was basically like imagine, like, instead of playing a full game of Hangman, they're like, here are the letters. Just figure it out from here. It's like, for the most part. But at the same time, it's like, and we'll talk about it when we get there. But, you know, there were some parts where it's like, it didn't, like, important stuff didn't pop in until you did something else first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had to go back to the same thing, you know? So it's like, sometimes things didn't, and it was kind of frustrating because it's like, there are some part, there's things you'd find that you're like, okay, I know this is important. I have no idea why it's important. So I, you know, I gotta go figure out whatever.
Why did we write this important. Down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, there was one part where it was important. She commented on it and then never wrote it down.
Hmm. Ooh. That was the slides, right?
That was the
the projector
slides to get the proper. Yeah.
It did the same thing with me.
Yeah,
it had to be in a specific order.
It looked like from Steam comments, it looked like that had happened to some other people as well. So
because she was like, oh, this looks like the one, and then I'm gonna check in the journal, and I'm like, but you didn't write it down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That must have been a glitch because I got that comment and then it popped up in that corner.
Yeah.
Oh, you had to. Oh, that you had to. When she says that you're standing at the projector, right?
Yeah.
You had to get out from behind the projector, go up to the screen, and then look at the screen.
Which is a little.
Yeah, it's a little cheesy.
That's a little why would you go up and look like physically? Like, why would you be like, oh, I can see it clearly from here. Why would you go up and be like, I need to touch the screen in order to like, but I get it. But yeah, that's what I had to do for it to get in there and eat too.
That's a weird other hitbox because I didn't have to go up to the screen. I got the symbol to like,
look at the screen from behind the
projector from where I was.
Yeah, that might have been just the way I did it. Yeah.
It could have been a hitbox thing. But
go ahead.
But yeah, no, in general I liked log part of that's I will say about like the actual journal part. You know, I liked how I always like it when there's a character has a journal and like there's evidence of journaling before the game started.
Yes, yeah, you could actually pay back. Yeah,
and so it's like I always like that because it just like helps build.
Backstory.
And of course, like you didn't really learn that much new, you know, that the game didn't already tell you. Like you could find out little things, like you could figure out the name of the ship of Harry's ship before you get to that part and everything. But the thing I will say I didn't like about the log is how the pictures. Wouldn't pop in the text, you know? So it's like, I would be looking back through the notes and it'd be like, just be random blank squares in the notes. And I was like,
particular spot you're missing. Yeah.
And so like, I missed some of those and I just felt like that's weird. But I mean,
I guess like
it gives really.
Yeah, like it gives you a completionist guide, I guess, that regard. Like if you wanted to go back and be like, okay, you've seen everything. If you get these little bits, but
I get the bits.
It's kind of annoying. Like maybe I would like if there was. This is a lot more work, but like an option at the beginning to be like, check this if you want a completionist journal, and check this if you want the important things journal.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We'll probably talk about like the comparisons to like Firewatch. It reminds me of Firewatch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's been a long time since I played Firewatch, but I remember his little journal that he drew like pictures in and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, there wasn't like a whole, like Firewatch is much more story than puzzles for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I liked that no matter like what you did, like the way he took notes and drew pictures and little squiggles and stuff. It felt like someone actually taking a journal, you know, whereas I mean, I feel like the log gets a little bit of that, but then it's like, and I know they kind of like, you kind of justify it story-wise because she has that line of, she's like, well, I'm an art teacher doing this, or artist, or whatever she said. So it's like, that's why there's detailed, almost photograph-like things.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like, if it's like her drawing them, you know, do they have to be perfect rectangles? Could it be a little more like just put a little filter, like a painting filter, or like,
yeah,
or like a or pastel like effect or something, you know?
Don't have a perfect rectangle around it, just draw into space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like some of the stuff they had to have had like artists on the team in some capacity that could probably easily, even if they didn't want to just do an effect like that, could just draw it, you know?
And it's like clear, like they did draw like these beautiful things, looking at the screenshot, you know, Madden just shared. It's like the little mechanical tuner box thing. It's like that is a drawing. That's not like a picture from the game. It's like just kind of browned out the sharp edges along the side of the picture, you know?
Yeah, right. Or,
I mean, that's ultimately, I feel like that's more kind of like just nitpicking, because otherwise I love the art style of this game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
same here.
I love how colorful it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the most colorful Lovecraftian thing I've ever seen.
It is very colorful.
So happy to see us.
It's
very beautiful.
It's something about that 1920s, 1930s steampunky, just the edge of the Industrial Revolution period of time that's like fascinating. It's just like, it's such a cool time, you know?
And kind of like Firewatch, I love just the like cartoony kind of style of everything,
because
it's like, to me, that makes it more immersive, because generally cartoony stuff holds up so much better than when people try to make things hyper realistic or something, you know?
Yep.
Like I always, you know, think of Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. When that game was first like announced, everyone was like, oh, look at the cartoons. Oh, this isn't the, you know, graphical Lord of the Rings Link I wanted to see. And it was like, but then like you fast forward to now and it's like,
it's GameCube
version still looks amazing because it's like it's stylized and
Well, even now it's so hard to get super super realistic and not hit some kind of weird uncanny valley. Stuff that you're just like it's off, you know what I mean? Like something is off and slightly makes me uncomfortable. But, you know, if you do it with this, you know, if you stylize it up a bit, it's you know, players are more forgiving for, right, you know, for things. And yeah, it's super pretty. I liked just exploring around in it, you know, just walking, even just, yeah, I mean, and I think it fits well with, you know, I mean, you know, it would be a shame if it was, you know, because this, it is part of her exploring this island for the first time, you know, and they did come here to, like, well, I mean, well, he came there to find, her missing husband came there to find, you know, a cure, but it wasn't expedition. So I'm sure you had people of different calibers there. Yeah, it would be a shame if it wasn't beautiful. So it's a good thing that, yes, it is beautiful to to look at as you're walking through it.
I also, you know, playing it, like, didn't realize, like, oh, it's been a while. I needed a walking simulator. This is, like, what I needed right now. You know, it's like, because I guess I haven't played a walking simulator in a while, and I know some people hate walking simulators, but, like, I love them. Yeah. I just, like, even like thinking back to, you know, when Layers of Fear 2, you know, when you turned off, like, the death mode, and it was basically just a spooky,
right,
a spooky walk simulator, and it's like, I love that. Or think about, like, everyone's gone to Rapture, just like, I get, like, there's no pressure to get there, like, there's pressure to get things done, but it's like, it's at your own pace, you know. You could still tell a grossing story without, like, a timer ticking down, or you know, fearing, like, oh, is something gonna jump scare me and kill me, and I'll have to start over the puzzle, you know. It's like, no, it's,
well,
just walk and look and observe and figure things out. Yeah. Just it reminds me of, like, some kind of, like, theme park attraction. It's just like going to the House of Wonders or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to play Eshade next, right?
Oh.
It's I have it downloaded and I. Yes.
I completely forgot about that, Madeline. Mm-hmm.
Because it's all of those things plus.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So going into the story of chapters 1 through 3, just as a refresher, the main character's name is Nora. Her missing husband's name is Harry. So in chapter 1, what did y'all think about how the game opened up? I mean, I'm sure it's for foretelling to something in the future that we probably haven't seen yet or haven't discovered yet about Nora. But it starts out with the weird kind of dream sequence where it's like, where she's swimming through this underwater cavern or this underwater cave. And she's like, I'm trapped here. I've been trapped here my entire life. And then towards the end, you come to a chair with a music box, which we find out after she wakes up was the music box her mother gave her. What do you, any speculations as to what this might be about?
So did anyone go all the way to the end of the slides on the projector?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. I did. Yeah.
So
I got that achievement. Yeah.
I have a feeling that, that she has some sort of connection with the island, and whether it's a curse or something to do with the black goo that she's turning into a fish person.
Yeah,
or she's immune to it because her family's, like, lived with it, you know, the whole time or something.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I wasn't expecting the game to, like, basically tell you right up front what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, maybe this game is to introduce people to these types of stories that aren't maybe as familiar with what is going on here? Because this is like literally the reveal of one of Lovecraft's stories. Funny ha, well, not really funny haha, but like this is what you find out at the beginning of this story is the reveal at the end of one of his stories. And I was like, really? Oh, right off the bat.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I do feel the like little cartoon thing at the very end of the slides, like I was like, I already like, you know, guessed it, you know, as you learn mm-hmm. about the doctor, you know, if you like see, find the pictures from the reporter and stuff about mm-hmm. the doctor, mm-hmm. it's like, you kind of put it together a little bit and then some dream sequences later on, you know, then there was just like, there's a silly cartoon right here. You get an achievement for finding it.
Of a girl that like, looks very similar to her, you know, very, very cartoonish, but, and then jumps in the water and comes out like, or jumps in like the black, this black blob and then comes out.
It was
looking kind of like a sea creature of sorts.
Yeah. Like it was just, it didn't, those slides like felt like kind of out of place because didn't they like say like the one who drew the cartoons was Roy and like, Roy was not even in that chapter.
Not with the party anymore.
So it was like, wait. Yeah. Then also, why would they draw someone that looks like Nora unless it was Harry?
Maybe Roy knew.
Harry.
Yeah.
But the slides.
Maybe Roy was connected to the island too.
No, but like, why would he have drawn on the slides about the puzzle that was, I don't know.
I think you're thinking too hard. I think you need to step away from. I think you need. I mean, we don't have answers for you, so.
Mm-hmm. And
I know, but that's why we're talking.
It is weird.
What are our thoughts?
I think that's kind of the point that I was trying to make, though, that the game, you have to kind of like give up a little bit of internal logic for the stuff that happens in the game, not just like the impossible with physics things, but the like the when stuff is revealed and why and who could have done it. I don't, based on what I've seen so far, I don't feel like it's that deep of a game. It feels much more geared towards maybe like a family, like if I was going to introduce Cosmic Horror to my kids to like play a game as a family, this is the game I would pick.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. Lovecraftian and light.
It's all Robinson Crusoe-ish until you get to the Black Ooze and then things take a left turn. And then keep going left. You know, with,
and it just turns.
As we progress,
Yep.
So, I like to move it around. I mean, it was just sort of like, I mean, from the, not to separate a little bit from the aesthetic, it's like, it's just your classic. All right. Like the underwater was, all right, this is how you move. And mm-hmm. then cabin is like, this is how you interact with things.
Yep.
And then, okay, you're on the island. Go.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah. So, continuing on, Sonora wakes up on the ship, and departs, from a smaller boat to the island itself. I really loved, what? The Eerie Adventures of the Lycanthrope Robinson Crusoe.
Oh, good.
Oh, H.P. Lovecraft. Okay.
Well,
is it by three authors? No. Wait a minute.
No, it's like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh, okay.
Peter Clydes took H.P. Lovecraft and then the original Robinson Crusoe story.
Made
it together.
Mashed.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes. So Norm
was in the cabin.
Oh yeah. My favorite thing is I don't know why I enjoyed this so much was seeing the like as your boat is like coming into shore and the title appears like after like, you know, The title appears in the sky, but you just keep like floating towards the shore and the title's mm-hmm. still there. I love that. I loved it. I did. I don't know why it really hit home with me, but I was like, it gave me all the right vibes. Gave me all the right vibes.
I just found it odd how the captain was speaking to you as you were sailing away from the ship.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
He's a sailor. He's got a strong set of lungs. What can
he's do? Omnipresent. You know, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he rowed her ashore, and she rowed herself ashore. I remember.
Yeah.
She rowed herself to shore, Frank. She's a strong, independent woman.
Independent invalid woman.
Yes.
that was like, it's like, oh, this entire expedition went missing. Well, have fun. We're staying. Yeah. Everyone else is staying on the boat.
We'll be back in 3 days.
Why didn't she hire anyone to go with her? Like,
I don't. It's because it helps.
And also, it's like, you know, it's funny. Like, you know, when you're in her cab at the very beginning of the game, and it's like she has so much stuff, and she makes a joke. She's like, "Oh, I think I packed too much." It's like, hey, you knew you were going out to an island like alone.
Mm-hmm.
You packed all this stuff, you're not taking it with you, and then you leave your box.
I know. The whole time I'm playing the game, I'm like, should we go back to the boat?
To the boat and get your stuff. Like,
you didn't anchor the boat or tie it off or anything. You know, the tide's gonna come in and take the boat away. You know, should we go back and secure your stuff before we go any further here?
Cartoon.
Oh, logic. You thinking logically.
Yeah. Cartoon logic, y'all.
Yep.
My anxiety was just
because we were talking about the title sequence and stuff, I really loved the music this game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's like the music like hits and swells like all at the mm-hmm. right moments. And it's like it is no, it's not intrusive. It's just like I love it when like a game soundtrack just like fits so perfectly. Which I mean, that's pretty normal for a walking simulator.
It should be normal. I mean, we have played walking simulators that were bad. Looking at you, City of Light. Was it City of Light? Town of Light?
That's the one I've always heard stories about. City of Light.
So you begin to explore the island. There's no one there, but there's signs of people being there. Nora, right? It's Nora. You wrote that down, Stephanie. Nora comments about how that she she reveals for those listening. She reveals that she has a skin disease, which is why her now missing husband. When we're playing the game and stopping, took an expedition to the island is to find a cure for her illness. Super sweet, very romantic. My old pal. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, all right.
So 1920s.
Yeah, it's like the least romantic thing you could call each other.
Romantic thing. I mean, it sounds like, I don't remember how long that she's mentioned that they've been married. I mean, it can't be for an extremely long time, but it seems like that's to me like something you would be like, you know, like a more kind of like familiar, you know, like after like maybe 50 years of marriage, you know, or like 45, you know?
It's like, I didn't like the first, like, and it was said like was like how they're like, you know, best friends, pals kind of thing. It was just like, oh, okay. But then it didn't hit me until like find one of Harry's letters and he's like, my dearest pal. And I'm like,
my dearest pal. Yeah.
That's I know you haven't seen a letter from me for so long. I'm like, you open with pal.
I mean, that's sweet. I mean, maybe that's the relationship they have. Maybe it's more of a, you know, I mean, that happens. Yeah. Maybe it's more of a, more you know, pal. Mm-hmm. Right. Then like, you know, my sweetest sweetheart.
It's an acronym for something. Yes.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
So, yes. Did anyone read the letter that was to the left of the boat when you first got on the island?
What did it say?
Remind me what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was there were a lot of letters.
It was all in French and it was on the crates.
Like, oh, the French one. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, if I was motivated enough, I'd go type this into Google Translate, but I was not.
I pulled up my phone and I pulled up the Google Translate app and I scanned it and it said, it was something along the lines of like, turn back now, all we've found is nothing but death on this island.
Mm. So, I mean, yeah. It's accurate.
I knew it was coming.
At least it wasn't like, you know, Butler did it. You know, it's like exactly right. Like that's the secret of the game is all right there at the beginning. The cake was a lie.
Right. You could read French.
Right. Yeah. but what I was getting to was that the character comments, like, not too long. I mean, you literally explore, like, ran on the island, like, maybe, like, a minute, and she's like, oh, I feel good. Like, I feel like that I can, like, you know, move quicker than usual or something. Like, so it seems that, did I continue my thought? Like, she has it from her skin disease, because apparently, like, it also affects her. I mean, it seems like the way that she talks about it, that it's more than just, like, on her skin, that it, but she doesn't, I mean, as far as I remember, like, she doesn't mention anything specifically of other ways that it bothers her, but she does mention like that she's sick a lot or so maybe, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm halfway through chapter 5 right now.
Okay.
And she does talk a little bit more about what it does later on.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So she had a key that she found taped to a letter back in her cabin on the ship. That she uses to open a box around this area when you first come here, which leads her deeper into the jungle. Or a box? Yeah, a box. That's what I wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to open some doors here, which is, I mean, it seemed pretty simple. You just gotta find little, like, blocks for them, little discs to put into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would think... you find evidence that your husband had been on the island, which you kind of already knew, but you find, like, pictures and, like, you know, other things to read and to look at. Then you find the Lorikeet Grove. And if y'all have anything to, you know, add in, again, everything looks beautiful here in this area.
It was really pretty. Yeah.
The Lorikeet Grove was very nice to find. And you have the boards with symbols on them. Yeah, Jonathan.
I liked this puzzle, but, like, I didn't, like... Like, after I found, like, 3 symbols...
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't even bother going for some, because I just went up to the little totem thing, and I was just like, click, 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 there it is.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like that... place was beautiful and stuff, but after, you know, running around through it like the 4th time, I'm like, this is a little too big. I'll just go at it.
Yeah.
And then go back to the graphics. Like, it's very, you know, the whole set is, like, beautiful and the lighting is beautiful. I will say that the birds themselves seem a little stiff, but
they were okay.
It is fine.
Speaking of stiff spell, these counterweights on the bridge, I was like,
like,
those are definitely dead people.
When I first walked
I didn't even notice. Oh, gosh.
I was like, oh, is it that type of game? And I'm like, I was waiting for her to comment on it.
Yeah,
like, exactly.
Like, okay, so I guess we're just going to ignore the dead bodies hanging from the bridge.
Also, Nora's reaction to things is always a bit, like, calmer than I would expect for a lot of things, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so died. Oh, Harry blamed himself. That's so sad. You know, it's like, wait,
these people died trying to save you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we're getting to. Maybe she just doesn't like care.
She doesn't have feelings.
Maybe she's the monster. It was inside of us all along. Yeah, no, I did think that those, I mean, I thought, okay, that's an interesting shape for those weights. Yeah, now that I'm looking at a picture of them, yeah, they do look very
corpse-like.
Why would you tie the bottoms like that to make it look like your head?
Yeah. Well,
I feel like I'm feeling a different way about this game now that I'm noticing this. I feel like that I'm the villain. I feel like we're the villain. I feel okay. All right. Yep.
I think just note it and move on. It's like, yeah, okay, all right.
I don't know, Frank. I don't know. Unless it's something like, you know, like in like a Pixar movie or something where they throw in stuff that adults will be like, wait.
Yeah.
You know, and if you play it with, if someone younger plays it, unless they're like some kind of COD player or something, they're not going to be like, that looks like a body in a bag.
Yeah. Also, just go back to like that opening island thing, like where the French letter is and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was like so upset Nora didn't pick up that machete.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like there's this, like, because I was like looking around the camp and I found the scabbard for the for the machete, and I was like, oh, there's a machete somewhere, and I'm like, oh, there's the machete, and there's a letter next to it. Oh, and then she's just like, oh, that's very dull.
It looks it also has blood on it.
Didn't comment on that.
Yeah, the insinuation was the machete was dull from cutting down all the trees.
A dull machete is better than no machete.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think it'd be that hard to just find a rock and sharpen the machete.
Well.
Yeah, okay.
One would think. Yeah, so you continue exploring, go through these like winding paths through the, like these narrow paths through the jungle. Then you run into the pillar puzzle. That uses the symbols from the grove. Thank goodness that she wrote them down in her journal, because I was just like, did y'all have any issues with this puzzle, or did you figure it out pretty quickly?
It's just the one to get the bridge, right? The other one.
Yeah, this one to get the bridge. It's where you have to line them up to find, like, you have to line them up according to like how they are in the stratosphere, in like the atmosphere. Water, fish, you know.
I didn't get that sequence.
Mm-hmm. I followed it from the mount, the little tabs on top of it, you know. There was like six tabs, and on each pillar there'd be one missing.
That's how I figured out
which symbol, what sequence, what order.
I lined it up with like how they go because it's how that they were lined up is how they go in like the atmosphere. Like you have ground, fish, you know, wind, sun was one of them, birds, mountain. I think, mountain. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I got bird and mountain screwed up because I figured mountain is higher than bird.
The birds, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But apparently, no, birds are higher than the mountain, so figure, you know.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the mountain, I guess.
Depends on the bird.
And the bird, too. but yeah, I think that I did the same thing, Chris, because I was like, that's right. And then I was like, I had to...
Is it an African swallow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike. Yeah. There was something else I got slightly wrong, too, but I don't remember what it was.
Of course, my first instinct was the order you encountered them, but that was like...
Yeah. Oh, Frank.
That was my first instinct. That was totally wrong.
All right, yeah. So you can get over across the bridge once you solve that puzzle. And it pretty much goes into chapter 2 from there, the Everheart Expedition. you find the camp here where her husband and her and his crew set up, and find a bunch of all kinds of different things there that you can look at. Mm-hmm. Notes, photos. There was one photo that I noted here that had the Polynesian man, and it had on the back that he marked on the back that he was scared of the well. Mm-hmm. Also, you find like a plan to blow the hatch.
Right, that they were keeping from Frank. From
Yeah. And you also find the grave of Roy Granger here, which is one of the fellow expeditioners that died.
From
trying to blow up the hatch with the black goo.
Which I didn't find that little section until afterwards. Because like I was kind of tucked away. Mm-hmm. So like I looked at like the main huts, and then I went up to Harry's big, cliffside, giant. He gets two huts, I got it kind of out of order. At the same time, that did make it like, because it was like, oh, and then I came down and then I saw the grave and I was like, I liked how the story revealed itself like to me, but then Nora's automated dialogue all of a sudden like became unsynced, where it's like, no, we already read and commented things, we know what Roy was doing, and it was like,
right.
Oh, Roy died, and it's like,
you knew that. But it was interesting. I didn't find the symbol on the back of the grave until desperation mode, because it's like, check everywhere again because I'm missing a goddamn symbol.
Yep.
On the back of the tombstone is
one of the hut symbols.
I think it was the Ray one was on the back of the
totem symbols, which
which is basically telling you the order on the totem pole to turn things.
I had to look that up online.
When I first got to the totem pole, I'm like, everything's right. Everything's aligned in the right symbols for each of those totems I found. Right? They're all synced up.
That's not the password.
Right.
I guess I did find it. I still had to look up the puzzle though, because I didn't.
I'm trying to figure out like exactly what the order was, and I'd pretty much gotten it correct, but I think I had swapped the two middle ones.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was getting me was that, like, how were you supposed to interpret what was the fish, what was the octopus, what was the stingray, and what was the turtle?
Oh, because outside the hut of that symbol, there was a
plaque over. Yeah, the tiki. For each hut, there's a tiki.
For each hut, there is a little tiki and a plaque.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you were able to figure out which tiki. So
I got all the tikis. I must have missed the plaque then.
I think she'll comment when you look at each of them.
Oh, one's missing.
Because the turtles was removed. The shark was like broken.
Mm-hmm.
And
the stingray was on the back of the grave.
The stingray was used as
the grave's
like tombstone. Yeah.
Okay.
It took me a bit to like find all the pieces and stuff, but like I really, really enjoyed that environmental like puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite puzzle. Of the puzzles in this
as opposed to the lens thing.
because the lens thing just like heard of messing with that before I knew what it was talking about.
That's what happened. These areas get bigger, you kind of encounter places that you really out of
you're
order
not ready.
But also like in my head, like the tiki stuff and the symbols, like I felt like I connected the dots much quicker than like what dots bacon lint.
I really loved. I mean, I don't understand what I was doing, but I loved like the lens aligner.
Yeah, I just wish the controls were a little bit easier.
Yes, yeah,
so it was just like moving that those controls around was like
lens aligner. Yeah. So you had to go into the well and click on the eyes on the wall that were dripping the goo,
and then that would put the correct
dots
in your notebook. Yeah, she would write down.
Right. I understand how I got. Like, I understand like how I got what I, you know, the notes that I had. I don't like.
Like, what were you doing like, to the lens?
Were you burning a hole in it? I don't understand. Right. I don't understand like how this machine worked.
You were like depositing the black goo onto the lens in specific areas.
Right.
Was that? Okay.
That's basically what you're doing, yeah.
But was it the black goo, though? Because this is from a company that's like from the Western world.
Sort of ink or something, like, yeah.
Yeah, like it would make, thematically, it would make sense for it to be black goo. But this is where I'm like, there's several things in this game where I'm like, don't think about it too much because the game is not made to withstand this level of scrutiny.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was some astrological device and stuff that they like used to like. I was thinking like constellation kind of thing. Like, it's I mean, it was just like it was a very interesting puzzle. I won't say I didn't like it because I like because it was different and interesting.
Yeah, I had a ton of notes when I was trying it without the. The eye clues. I was just trying to fill it up on my own. It was like, oh boy, this is frustrating.
Before I went into the well and stuff, like I started messing around with it, and I was just like, nope, I'm not ready for it. I'm gonna move on. You know, it's just
like, that's what I went to the YouTube video and saw that they had it, when they went to their journal, they had the three eyes in their journal. It's like, I got to get those eyes. That's what it is. I got to go find those eyes.
It was easier the second in this chapter that it's like
I didn't
it's like you have to do these puzzles even though it's open world. It's like you got to do these puzzles in a specific order.
There's an order, there's an order, and you could you got to get that from the notebook because there'll be blanks in the notebook, and it's like, you know what, I think I'm missing something. I got to go back and look for something.
Yep, it's an interesting way to convey information.
Yeah. And it was funny when I got the three eyes and then I looked at the drawbridge, right, the other bridge, and I'm like, I couldn't find the switch. It was like the hitbox for the switch was like, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I ended up climbing back up the ladder and going back down, and it was like, and then I was reviewing somebody's video and it's like, oh, there's the goddamn switch. Oh, okay.
Right there.
It's right there, you idiot. But that was interesting. And then the other part where once you get the, you get the lens figured out and you see the constellation, but it was like the only annoying part was the game didn't really tell you what was your point of reference for the room and the constellation.
I started like in my head, I was just like, I'll start with the first eye I saw bleeding,
Right.
And then like, I started going around. It wasn't until like I was on the other side. I saw like the one little eye that's like a star that's like yellow. Yeah. And I was like, ah, crap. I was supposed to start with that one.
I was looking at it that with the constellation, like there's this one big bold.
Yeah.
Star, and then I saw the one gold star on the floor. So I started with that. And then, but the one problem I had was like, it's when you're on the ground, it's hard to really figure out where to go. And then when you go up, there's really no good vantage point to look down into the well because there are parts of the cap that's
obscured.
And you can't walk out to that and look down. And then like you kind of have to like position yourself in weird angles.
It was a bit of a trial and error getting that one.
I really liked this puzzle.
It wasn't a good puzzle, but it was just annoying to get it set up properly to like figure out what to actually
press. I wasn't even looking at the eyes on the walls. I was just at first when I looked at it, I says, oh, okay, so this is how you see it when you walk into the room, and then I did it like that, and I was like, nope, that's not it. And then I like let's try this. If this is the way, the first stone is the first stone you encounter when you walk into the room. And then it clicked. It just went bing, 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 and it worked.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I think they needed a better hint as to which point to start with. But anyway, you figure it out. You drown in the black goo.
Yay!
Yeah, that was like all of a sudden, I was like, oh no. I was thinking like, oh, it's going to lower the bridge, you know, because there's that bridge over there. Then it was just like, oh, nope, I'm drowning in the black goo. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, Nora started freaking out during this part, but even so, I'm like, I don't feel like you're freaking out
enough.
You should be.
Right.
Freaking out more.
Right.
Especially because at that point, especially at that point, like in the puzzle, like to get to that point in the chapter, it's like you already know there's something up with the goo, because you already know there's something wrong with the doctor. The doctor's hearing creepy things, and you yourself have already heard creepy things, and Nora even like makes a comment that it's like, oh, what's it? You know, like makes that connection, or that it's just like, oh no. Being surrounded by the black goo.
Yeah.
The real shocker for me was I kind of saved halfway through this level and came back to it like a day or two later. After Steph said, all right, finish chapters 1 to 3. I thought that was chapter 3.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, I'm done. And then the scene happens and it's like, now chapter 3. And I'm like, shit. I got another chapter to do.
Oh, yeah.
Little early.
A little early, a little premature.
Completionism. And so then you have, after you drown in the black goo, you have a little dream sequence of you walking through a cavern. You're like feet. She makes a comment that she can't control what she's doing, but that she's walking through a cavern over a rocky path towards a large creature. Which is kind of like far off in the distance that you can barely see move. And then you get to a cliff and you just kind of like walk off it into the water.
That creature, I'm like, she mentions the creature. And I'm like, what creature are you?
What? That's what I said.
Yeah.
I don't see any creature whatsoever. And then I see like glowing eyes in this, like what looks like a mountain.
Yeah.
Like,
there is something. I mean, also you can see just a tad bit of movement to the right of that mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love that, because to me that's like the most like
the crafty what we're here cosmic for.
Horror, you know, thing, because it's just like, you know, we've seen like we're like, you know, the generation where it's like there's been tons of kaiju movies kind of thing, but it's like, no, this is not a kaiju or anything. This is
a god.
it's like I love how they framed like. At first you think, oh, it's a mountain. And then it's like you look at it a little bit longer and you're like, oh. And it's like that realization when you're like, oh, that's not a mountain.
Right. That's, yeah.
It already had like a slight spookiness to it, just the fact that Nora was like, because there's so many times when you're playing one of these games, you know, and like the character goes on autopilot, it's like, oh, because it's a cutscene, we don't think about it.
Yeah.
Then for her as the character to be like, can't I stop moving kind of thing, it's like, oh, it's a cutscene for her too.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she gets the creature from the Black Lagoon arms. You know?
Oh, yeah. Sees the large red eyes under the water as you
know. Right. And that was like when she like sees the eye like underwater, and she's like, "Oh, I have to get closer
towards it."
Nope.
No, you don't.
No, you don't, Nora. Come on, Nora.
It's fine. We're fine here. We can go back.
Go ahead, Frank.
I was gonna say, and then as you get off this beach, did anybody else with this whole beach scene? I was getting King Kong vibes.
Yes, it had some of that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. With the, you know, the whole big mountain pass in the background, and a wrecked ship, and all this, you know, 1930s equipment laying around. Yeah. It's all like, man, this has got King Kong written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was surprised, like, just. I mean, I guess technically it probably wasn't that much bigger than the Pet Last area, but it's like, it felt like this area was like much bigger, like, to me.
Oh yeah, no, I think
it felt like a lot more walking.
This is what the game's doing. The puzzles are getting more and more spread out and more, difficult. And the areas you have to go and collect from a bigger area, go a lot more places to get your clues. And I'm sure that's going to progress as you go through the chapters.
And I really, really liked, it's like, I really like that, because then it's like, it itches that, like, walking similar exploration thing. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, because of my whole, like, missing Roy's grave the first time around, it's like now that I know there's, like, an order you're supposed to go, it's like, it's making me hesitant to explore. Like mm-hmm. I wanted to, like, go explore the ship, but I'm like, oh, am I not, maybe I'm not supposed to go in the ship yet. And
yeah, that's exactly had that vibe.
And then ultimately I found the switches and realized the switches led me back to the, you know, ship. Or even like I went walking around and I saw like the, like, wooden path they built to the top of where the organ is. And like, I started to go up there. I'm like, no, I'm probably not supposed to go up here yet, or I'll get confused, you know, like with the lens thing. Mm-hmm. So, so it's like, I mean, I love the area and I love the puzzles and stuff, but it just, like, the openness of it, but at the same time, they're kind of, it's open, but they're like, you're supposed to go this way, you know?
A little bit, yeah. I'm that kind of guy with, like, I walk into the area like this and it's like, you know, I like the areas that are circular and you go either left to right or right to left and you come back to where you start. But here it starts branching off, and that's when you get like, oh shit, where do I go?
I looked at everything first, and then I started doing stuff.
That's probably the best way to do
it. Well, I started to, but then, like, she makes a comment, because I went to the reporter's tent first, and, like, she makes a comment. She's like, oh, I need the light.
I still kept confused me at things.
Because, like, most of that stuff in that tent, you could see without the lights. There's only that little dark room, but...
yeah.
I didn't realize it until after the fact, because I was like, oh, I'll notice a lot more when I get the power on.
But I like
one more thing.
There was more to do than just do puzzles to get things going with this. It was like, okay, like, I get the generator going, get the lights on, you know, and then I ran into the middle of the boat, and it's like, you see that floating ooze thing, and it's like, let's see all these numbers, and I'm like, definitely come back to this. I don't think there's something.
Yeah,
I'm gonna need some more information for this one.
the floating ooze, you know, Sonic thing. Like, I started fiddling with it, and like I saw like the pattern of what you're supposed to do, and I was like, okay, and I did it, and she wrote it down, and I was like, I have no idea why frequencies
why matter, but okay.
That was,
you know,
most annoying puzzles to do.
Yeah, because it's just, it's so easily, you could screw up so easily and have to, like, you know, start all over.
Wait, which one?
The one with the floating
discs. The one with the three.
Oh, see, that one, I like that one too.
Yeah, no, I really liked it too.
It's just a puzzle. It's just, you have to be very careful.
It's one of those, it's one of those where it's like, you can inadvertently, like,
ruin it in a second.
Screw it up.
Oh, for sure.
So much that, like,
yeah,
it's not fun anymore. Like, it reminds me of kind of like a,
like
Rubik's Cube kind of thing, or those like picture slide in place puzzles, yes, you know?
The one with the numbers.
It's like,
I love those things.
There's a pattern to it, but what if you screw up the pattern? It's like, God damn it, everything's out of place.
Yeah.
You gotta start over. You gotta start over.
Well, I have good news and bad news for future levels.
There's more of that. Okay.
Yes.
At least one. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I figured as much, because, you know,
it's level three. It's a pretty common
puzzle. Escalation of these puzzles is getting, they're like, the puzzle's difficulty and like complexity are growing exponentially, you know?
Yeah, so it's, and like, that's, that's almost a puzzle, like a walkthrough may not even, unless you watch it really close, mm-hmm. won't even help you with, because it's
right.
It's just like, you know, it's like you can do this or this or this or this, you know, yeah. to get them in place into the places where they need to be to all line up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's one of those things with these puzzles. I love them because it's like they're not that complex. It's just it's kind of like when you have like a picture that's an illusion, and like you're staring mm-hmm. at it, and you're like, "What is this? What is this? What is this?" And then someone says, "It's a dog," and you look at it, and you immediately see the dog, and you're like, "Dang it!"
Yeah,
dang it.
Yeah.
It's just
like, yeah,
you can't unsee it then.
Yeah, yep. And so it's like, why couldn't I see the dog the first time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, y'all just kind of like ease right on through here. My notes are just sliding away from me.
Well, just pick at the high points. Let's see. What do you got?
You did find the logbook from the ship that revealed that the crew of the ship that brought the expedition there were afraid of it,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting.
Oh, did you mm-hmm. turn off the SOS?
Oh, God, I forgot to turn it back on.
No, I didn't turn it off.
I turned it off. Yeah,
I turned it off, and I completely
forgot about it. Yeah.
As I finally solved the other puzzle, it's like, I left the toast. I left the kettle on the stove. I forgot to turn it. The message back on.
Yeah, I turned it off, but I just switched it right back on because I was like, well, I know how the story ends, but mm-hmm. we'll let Nora think that there's help
right,
coming. Maybe.
Right, yeah.
I turned it off and uh-huh. I didn't think a second thought about it.
I turned it off. I was basically like, you know what? It's probably better off that no one hears the message and tries to come to the site.
That's interesting.
Good point.
Yeah, excellent point, yeah.
So, I mean, but if history showed us anything with these kind of stories, some rich guy's going to hear a rumor at the book and he's going to come back anyways. You know, so it's like, that's where you get sequels.
Or the military's going to hear it and come with their Black Hawk helicopters and shoot everyone.
And this is why you should play Delta Green.
Yeah.
See, this is where this whole area, the one misleading thing that I thought was misleading. I mean, you eventually get that, you know, okay, it's related to, you know, the organ has only certain notes in certain periods of time, you know, depending on what, you know, cycle of the moon you're on and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. tides. And then, you know, you get the calendar and you find it, you know, you look in the diary and the day is November 7th, right? The day yep. you're on this part. Yep. I look at the calendar. Oh, it's a new moon. Okay, fine. And I'm starting to base my puzzle solving the fact that it's a new moon. And then when you go to the water organ, you know, the organ part, and you go down to the tide indicator, the tide telling you it's the first quarter, right? The symbol is like with a little bit of water on it. I'm like,
low tide.
Mm-hmm. Low tide. I'm like, what's, you know, and then it's that, and I got confused. I'm like, what does it want me to use?
Like
new moon or, yeah.
Between that and low tide. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
No. I couldn't do this puzzle. This puzzle was...
I looked at a walkthrough at this point, and essentially with the moon portion, it had basically said, look at your first journal entry where it said like November something, and then you look at the calendar to determine whether it's a full or new moon. And because of that date, it was fell on a new moon, so that's why you chose the
on the big disc thing. Yeah, that's
why you
chose new moon there. But to decipher what the turn off and on, you had to use the quarter tide.
That you went down to the stairwell on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. My brain exploded here, and I was like, "Nope, walk through time." And even then, well, no, yeah, if no, I had to follow. I followed a video walkthrough, because I knew I was like, I'm not going to be able to read this on anything and be able to follow it. So yeah, I had to watch a video walkthrough because I tried it a couple of times, and but it was partly me guessing on part of it because. Yeah, and then like there was the whole thing where she didn't write down the symbols there at first, so I had to go mm-hmm. back and figure that out. But yeah,
yeah, this was a definitely like this was an A B C D E puzzle. You had to get like five pieces and get them and figure out what piece went with what.
Mm-hmm. Which I liked. I was just bad at.
I was almost.
It was hard to know. Like I felt like. When I found everything, I forgot to actually like finally transpose from like full moon to new moon or whatever it was.
That's when I got started getting frustrated.
Or like high tide to low tide. I think I forgot to transpose that. And so like, I was like, my game is broken. No, you're not doing everything right.
Even though you knew the frequencies, you didn't know if they were supposed to be off or on. You know, it didn't really tell you that, you know, these are the three valves you need to do something with, but it doesn't tell you to open or close them.
So those
I figured with that, like when you look at the big thing that showed all the symbols in the center of the pedestal, I figured black goo going, that's the one you want, you know.
Okay.
If you get the black goo going. And so I was able to do this puzzle, you know, without a guide. But there was I have to have a little pride of my work.
No, kudos to you. Yeah,
I think that's just like I found the slides like pretty early on because I was like so focused on like turning on the lights and then finding everything in those tents. And so I remember looking at the slides and then like, you know, after like, you know, looking at them and then looked at the second slide and I was just like, oh, it's like a cipher key thing. Okay. Because like the first two, three slides for the tides, like weren't that far off. It's like, oh, they're just shifted two spots. So then like, once you get to the bottom of a few tides, it's like, oh, okay, never mind. This is just, okay. I was like, okay, this is important. It's going to require like transposition. And I was like, okay. And I'm sure I'll find something that I'll know which one to use. And so I was like, okay, I need to find a way to find the tides. And it took what my problem was is it took me forever to find that stupid little staircase on the side that led to the tide markers. And then, because at first I found the moon disc thing. I thought that was like the tide indicator.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
And I was so confused. And then I just happened to remember, I was like, there was some calendar about lunar calendars. And I was like, but that didn't seem important because I didn't get notification. Like She wrote anything down. And then I opened up the journal and I was like, oh, well, nope, there's a calendar in my journal. Okay. You know? And then you know, you go back and you like learn the tide stuff, and then you go back to the slide, and then you got to click on the slide after she says the dialogue. And so it's like, I really like the puzzle because I mentioned it in when we were discussing that throughout the week. Like, I feel like it scratched that like musically inclined part of my brain where, you know, my brother's a music teacher, my dad's always been. In a band or an orchestra, so it's like oh, okay, music, I get it. Because then they had a little keyboard thing. I loved how it's like you just had to, you know, each note, and she like wrote down what she needed to know and the hertz and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like that part of the taking notes was really easy, and like it felt like it was obvious. Oh, all these notes are written down, and then the slides were opposite of that.
But
I do think there's just a little, there's too many steps. Like, I understood what they're doing with like the lunar cycle and the tides kind of thing, because it's supposed to be a natural thing that was already there.
But
at the same time, I'm like, you could have had that puzzle be just as difficult without the whole moon lunar cycle bit, you know? Well,
the other thing too is that you were supposed to then go back into your notes, look at the frequencies of what was written in the log or in the notes on what each hertz
on which note
the symbols are on each note, and then look at the hertz on the notes from the levitating rocks on the ship, and then you were supposed to match those hertz with the symbol on the keyboard, and then that determined which symbols were supposed to be opened on the organ, and then you were supposed to then go to that slide and then
transpose them.
So
right,
it was
find out like, what the true sequence
was. Yeah, so right. It was just like just a red yarn like all over the cork board there trying to figure out and point to, so it was just like a really complicated solution.
What I think the other thing that the hardest time for me was I couldn't find the last little valve to open.
Yeah, they
were way off on the left with no light on it. And I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you had to wait for the lightning to strike to see what the heck you're looking at.
Basically.
That was funny. That,
I love.
Yeah, you trigger the sequence, right? And the stairway happens. And you get to the other pedestal, and there's another, like, it looks like a puzzle. At that point, I'm like literally flipping the cursor, you know. All right, where's my clues? I don't have any clues.
Yeah.
which one should I press?
It's like you open all that up to get out there, and then it opens a different stairway to go basically back to where you came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it looked cool, but why did we come out there?
Yeah, it looked really cool, but that was another moment. It's like, oh, I gotta, because I expected as soon as I solved it, like, oh, it's gonna open the door. It's like, no, you're gonna go out this pillar of the ocean. Oh, okay. And then there's a letter from your pal, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Harry himself.
Yeah. If you're reading this, you're a genius.
Yeah. Yeah. In the letter, he talked about the toll that the expedition was taking on his sanity, as well as like the team was losing their morale.
Also, he's getting more aggressive, and he didn't like the rage he was feeling.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's. Oh, you find the touching photo between, who was it, Frank and the Islander?
Yeah.
Working in the workshop, singing their work songs.
I thought it was interesting that in chapter two, there was like a good little bit of storytelling about the Islander that came with them.
Mm-hmm.
That in chapter three, it's like they barely mentioned the Islander, and I feel like,
I feel like
you could have talked a little bit more about how the Islander was freaking out, like, or that he was afraid of the doctor, or he was wary, you know. But it's like I didn't know.
Maybe the Islander is dead.
No, because he's in the pictures helping them subdue the doctor.
Oh, true.
and then when there's like, I think in the cutscene in between, like. They have the whole classic, there was the group photo, the ones who are dead fade away, you know?
Right. Yeah. There's only five left now. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they had this, especially this chapter, they like had this leading thing of like, oh, who's CD, you know? And you find the tent of the reporter, who's CD? And I was just like, it's the only other woman seen in this game. It's like, what do you like? I felt like they were trying to do like a big reveal.
Yeah.
It's like,
collect all.
Didn't need to be a reveal.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Right now, my theory is that it was the reporter who sent her the key and everything. And, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
What do y'all think? Oh, go ahead, Frank.
They kind of glossed over. You collected a lot of. There was a lot of articles and newspaper about this. What was it? This one. I want to call him a cryptologist, but some guy doing investigations on the island. Was that? am I reading that right? The newspaper articles that were you found at the one campsite?
There was a lot of newspaper articles.
Yeah, and I'm like,
that's how you found out she was a reporter.
Right.
But not about Harry, about a different person?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think I know what you're talking about. But I think it was more just general. I don't know if it was about the island or if it was like just general articles of like supernatural kind of thing that like she writes about.
Yeah.
She writes about weird things, and that's why she's here. I don't know.
You do find a book in her tent once you get the lights on. I think it's like
Weird Tales or Amazing Stories.
And that's the kind of magazine that Lovecraft stories were originally published in.
So
it's
kind of interesting.
It's a kind of neat nod.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. That is cool.
Yeah, that's neat. Where do y'all think that, what do y'all hope to see or what do you expect to see in the upcoming final three chapters of the game?
That's a good thing. I hope the storm passes so I can see what I'm doing.
I did see far enough into chapter four that like, oh, it's colorful again.
it is.
Okay.
Thank the Lord.
I don't think we're gonna. We might find Harry, but I think Harry's dead.
To the other side of the island.
The game
side. You sailed off in our boat. I don't want to see you ever.
You know, I don't know if Nor is even going to leave the island.
You know, yeah, that's true.
I get a feeling Nor might have a weird kind of happy ending, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So far,
If you mean that she turns into a sea creature and is happy there in the ocean.
No, I don't.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm not convinced she'll turn into a sea creature. I have a feeling that, like Harry found the cure or something, but the, like her family bloodline's different because she's had it for so long, and like while the black goo's kills everybody else, like being on the island is gonna like heal her or something. That's what I think.
I guess the ending will foretell who they actually meant this game to be for.
I think so.
I was like when we back at the black ooze puzzle when you walk through that and they have the murals on either side.
Oh yeah.
The first thing I heard John is in the voice in my head. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Well, and also you get the flashes when you put the lens into the telescope there.
Yeah.
That are very alien looking as well.
Yep.
I completely forgot, but those big like purple and gold murals you find like on the island. It's that kind of stuff. I feel like, aren't you writing this down, Nora?
yeah.
Like, I want to know more about, like...
And whatever they're doing to their eyes.
Yeah, black goo or whatever's going into their eyes.
What are they doing to their eyes?
Oh, it has to be their eyes, because that's all the
well, she says. She comments. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she comments on the walls of, what are they doing to their eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, the expedition party's going to continue to be 10 little Indians. Where that, you know, one by one, they keep losing a member of the party. Still got three chapters to go, right? Three? Four, five, six?
Yeah, I think it's six chapters, yeah.
Okay. I think so. And each, as for good or bad, I think it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, the areas and the puzzles is going to be like, you know.
So, for chapter four, it felt like there were, like, two separate puzzles. For chapter five, I'm not really sure yet. I feel like I'm maybe in, like, a first area, and there will be a second area puzzle. So, if I had to predict based on that, I would say maybe, like, chapter six will be another big, giant puzzle.
Which means we're probably going to go under the sea. We're running out of island.
Yep.
Maybe we'll find a new island.
That's true.
Yeah.
What?
Everything. Yeah.
I don't think we're running out of island. It's a big island.
Every
let's yeah. to one beach.
Everything beaches, does, you know, does keep getting really like prettier and prettier, even mm-hmm. as it gets weirder and weirder.
And everything ends.
And on that note,
wheel that turns back time, or a polar bear. No. Nora, we gotta go back. We gotta go back, Nora.
All right.
Area
so
was covered with ice.
We will continue this conversation next week with our discussion on the second half and the ending of Call of the Sea. Yeah, so thank you all for chatting. If you want more game chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcasts under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. You can keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat. Or follow us over on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or email us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we'll be chatting about the second half of Call of the Sea, as well as scoring, giving it our final scores. So until then, thanks for listening, and I'll chat you later. Bye.
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 Bye.